Jimmy Needham says that God is enough for you, even through the deepest loss and hardest trials.
If I have you, I have everything. And if I lose everything, but I still have you, I haven't lost anything.
You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. I'm Dana Gresh. I'm so glad you're here for today's episode of Revive Our Hearts Weekend. This week, we heard from Jimmy and Kelly Needham as they shared about their marriage and parts of their story that were painful. Jimmy's a well-known Christian singer and songwriter, but he's also a husband, a father of three, and an elder at their local church in Texas. You may be familiar with his wife, Kelly, from her speaking and writing. She's deeply connected with Revive Our Hearts. On today's episode, they talk with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
Well, I love seeing God's hand on younger women, and increasingly, the older I get, the more women fall into that category for me.
But
younger women who love Christ, love His Word, have a sense of God's calling in their lives to serve Him as true women of God. And Kelly Needham is one of those people that I've watched from a distance mostly over the years and been so touched by her walk with God. And now I'm delighted to have Kelly and her husband Jimmy in the studio with us this week talking about, well, mostly marriage, but some of their journey. And you may be familiar with Kelly's name by having read the True Woman blog. Mm-hmm. Kelly, you blog often for us there, and I've just so appreciated. In fact, I was talking with a young woman who called me for some counsel several months ago, and I remembered that you had written something on the topic she was concerned about. And I went to our archives, and lo and behold, there were several articles you had written that I was able to pull, send her the links, and you became the counselor in that situation, even though you didn't realize it. And it was, came back and she said, this was exactly what I needed to read. This really spoke to my issue. So just a word that True Woman blog has lots of resources from lots of women in lots of different life situations and seasons. And Kelly has been one of our really effective bloggers there. I'm so grateful for that. And Jimmy is a singer, songwriter, does some blogging as well. And you're a worship leader in your church.
That's
am I right about that?
That's right.
So they are serving the Lord together, raising a family. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But I'm really so thankful to hear from you about your journey. And we talked yesterday about the Lord leading you guys to marriage. You married at the age of 20. Mm-hmm. That seems really young, but your hearts were in a good place. You had a solid foundation for your lives. And so you got married, you got to the altar, and you lived happily ever after, right?
No problems.
No problems?
Yeah.
Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Smooth sailing.
No. And that's the end of this step.
It was about 2 weeks after that Jimmy had just gotten signed. They were just promoting his first record that released on our honeymoon, by the way, his first label-released album. And we flew to Nashville for a few of publicity things for him before we started our last year of college. And the bottom fell out at that point for me. It was my first time to be identified as Mrs. Needham, Jimmy's wife. And here are these young girls, people making a big fuss about him, and I'm kind of only important because I'm married to this man. And that had never been true. I was, you know, what I didn't see at the time is my heart felt pretty confident in its own ability to be spiritual. I was, you know, a leader in my youth ministry, a leader in ministries at college, and here I was the sidekick. And it immediately exposed hidden pride that had been lurking there for a long time, and it blindsided me. I think for several months, I had really no idea what was going on. I just knew I was angry, and I felt unappreciated and frustrated. And so in my confusion about all that, a lot of that lashing out and flailing about landed on Jimmy, sadly. I mean, it's something I felt really grieved about, but I was not very pleasant to live with those first few months in the stresses of that. And then we're going on the road, and I need to keep up my appearance as this, like, godly wife. And all these girls are in line to talk to Jimmy and get his autograph and saying all sorts of unhelpful things to me. And it was just a storm right at the beginning of marriage that was really a grace of God to expose things in me. I'm eternally grateful for that. But it was really hard in that season, for sure. So
how did you guys walk through that?
Well, you know, it was really the grace of God. Like, when I think about, okay, what were the things that made it change or made us act differently toward each other or
change? Did you kind of feel caught off guard by that?
Well, you know, it was my first marriage. I didn't know what normal was. I knew that there was something wrong, and I knew that my good advice to her wasn't helping. I, you know.
So you were trying to fix it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, guys have a habit of that from time to time. Yeah. So, you know, I tried to be slower to speak in those times. I don't think I was perfect by any means, but I just tried to operate in patience and prayerfulness. And when I think about the thing that changed the situation, I just remember it was God interrupting mm-hmm. her in a moment in time. It wasn't even me or anybody saying anything to her. I remember, if you recall, Kelly, mm-hmm. it was a time you were sitting on the bed or something.
Yeah, we were in our little one-bedroom apartment, and I was just very angry. And Jimmy was very patient through all of that, almost infuriatingly so. I almost wanted him to get angry at me, and he wouldn't, and was patient and telling me we're going to work this out, and was prayerful. And so we were in the middle of several hours of arguing. And then the only way I can describe it is I really do feel like it was the Spirit of God just leveling me with conviction. I just broke down crying and just really realized my rebellion against my husband is a rebellion against God, because here I had covenanted with this man who now has become a spiritual authority for me, that I'm required to submit to him, to allow myself to be under his authority. And I'm just angry about that, angry about what he's called to and all the implications for my life. And that primarily I was angry at the Lord. And I loved God. And I think it was a sense of, if I keep hardening my heart, this nearness I've had with him for years before is I can't have both. And so I did. I just, poor Jimmy probably didn't know what was going on. I was went from angry to bawling my eyes out. And I remember telling him, I just need to be alone for a second to pray and just repenting before God and just asking him to forgive me and help me. And it didn't change overnight at that point, but that was a big turning point for me to recognize my battle was with the Lord and his will for my life, not with my husband. But Jimmy was extremely patient through all of that. I mean, that enabled me to deal with the Lord. So I think in him just being patient and prayerful with me and not getting angry back at me, he allowed me to deal with God, which is what I needed to do.
And you were really needing to let God help you shape your identity as a married woman.
That's
which
right.
wasn't exactly the same as a single woman, and yet your identity in Christ doesn't change.
It does not. But clearly I'd had some of my identity wrapped around other things than Jesus, because those things went away when we got married in some ways. Just what I was known for, all those things no longer were there. I was only known as his wife, and that really is something I was proud of. But it were these other things I had placed my hope on that didn't exist anymore, and Christ was still there. And so it really was, that season was a big reorienting for me of whose am I first, that I'm not Kelly Adams, you know, single girl who loves God, who all these people know. I wasn't, you know, Kelly Needham, Mrs. Needham primarily. I was Kelly, child of God. Mm. And my first relationship that my hope is based on is in the Lord. And that didn't go away. I just had some new roles to fulfill, some new seasons of life to walk through. And the Lord was with me through those. And it was his eyes that I needed to have my focus on, not the eyes of other people and the notoriety that I could have or couldn't have based on those seasons. So it was a really big gift. And I think has served me well as a wife to have worked through that at the beginning.
Yeah.
To remember, no, I am the Lord's. And Jimmy, that means primarily Jimmy is my brother in Christ. That is an eternal reality. And so that reminded me, I need to be serving him as his wife because he's my brother in Christ. And our first identities are related to God more even than they are to one another.
Yeah. And I'd love to just take a second on the radio to just affirm you, babe, because what God has done in you and your willingness to submit to him and his leading of you, I just look at you and there's just a complete change of heart and a humbleness there, and it's remarkable. So I just love it. Just testifies that the Spirit of God is in you and he's working. So I'm really encouraged.
And that submission to Christ brings about then such sweet fruit in your relationship, your marriage. You're able to experience, I can tell just watching the two of you, more than you ever could with the wrestling and the resisting or the bucking of the season of life God has you in. And I think that's true for every person, man, woman, married, single, younger, older, every season of life. You know, it's in the yes, Lord, that there comes. We think that's we're going to lose something. We think we're going to be less. But that's actually how we flourish and experience the greatest freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness
That's right.
is in Christ. And in your case, it was – a really important early discovery and journey, because the Lord had some other hard things you were going to walk through that probably wouldn't have anticipated being in the script when you stood at that altar and said, I do. And one of those early on was experiencing miscarriages.
That's right. It was actually, I think just about a year into marriage, we were on tour, our first, you know, on the road, out of school, gone more days than we were home. And I found out I was pregnant on the road. And then it
was. Were you looking forward to having children?
We were. Yeah, I've always, from a big family, a bigger family, wanted a lot of children. And so we had talked about, okay, well, let's, you know, let's try and have kids. And so we found out we were pregnant. We're on the road. And very shortly after that, I knew things weren't right. And it was probably 2 to 3 weeks later that I lost that baby. And that's hard anyway, all the time, let alone being on the road around a lot of other people in airports, in cars. And so it was really devastating. And I think I didn't really know how to process it. Again, most of my friends weren't even married yet, let alone pregnant and then going through miscarriage. And so life was really, really full. And so I think I grieved a little bit. And then we just moved on to the next thing because that seemed easier to me. And then it was about a year later that my parents started having some problems in their marriage. And there was a season of separation for them in the middle of Jimmy releasing another record. And man, the hard just seemed to pile on itself almost every year after that. And then,
because it wasn't your only miscarriage.
It was not. And it was while my parents were still dealing with some problems within their marriage that I found out I was pregnant a second and third time. And both of those pregnancies I lost as well. And I think that third pregnancy, there's something about three that just feels so final. And I think I really sunk into some despair and hopelessness after that, and really a lot of questions about God and who he was, which is really where we all go in suffering, is who are you, God? You say you're good. These promises say this, but here's what I'm experiencing. And then a dear friend who we were going through some really difficult conflict at the time found out she was pregnant just weeks after that. And so, man, my heart was really, really struggling in those seasons and grieving a lot of things.
You know, and as her husband, it's such an interesting thing being the husband of somebody who's miscarried, because the grief is there, but it's different. It's just qualitatively different. It's not, you know, I'm not carrying the baby. There's a, you know, I know for a lot of husbands, I've talked to them, it's a struggle to even emotionally connect to that whole experience because it just feels so apart from you. And then there's the compounding difficulty of like being the Mr. Fix-It mentality and like, how do I fix this situation and your pain? And it's like, and I think all of us understand that that tends to not go well generally. You know, I had to grow and mature in my sense of what it means to come alongside somebody who's suffering, that it doesn't always mean good advice and just, you know, take two of these and call me in the morning sort of attitude. But it needs to be that sort of biblical posture of weep with those who weep, bear one another's burdens. Like, what does it look like to enter into somebody's pain? And so I was learning that, you know what, that is, that's really the best thing I can offer her, is to be committed to praying for her and then to saying, I'm going to enter into your pain and try to feel what you feel and grieve alongside you, because sometimes that's all that you need. In fact, I wrote a song right around that season about that, trying to put some words to what I'm eager to do, which is not fix it anymore, but just involve myself in your suffering, because I know that's really all that she wanted in the first place.
Let's listen to a little bit of that song, In the Middle.
In the middle of a cold, dark night, in the middle it'll be all right. I will be there. I will be there. And if pain is the ocean you are swimming in, you can rest assured.
Jimmy Needham singing his song, In the Middle. And Kelly, Jimmy wrote that song at a really significant, difficult time in your journey together.
Yes. After several years of hard things already, it was after our third miscarriage. And it's one of my favorite of his songs because he really lived what he wrote in that song. He was just with me in the hard, was present, was a listening ear, didn't belittle what I was going through, though I know he didn't understand. I knew he didn't understand why I felt so profoundly despairing because of that. And at the same time, and he talks about this in the song, he was also a present reminder of God's faithfulness when it was really hard for me to believe that. Mm-hmm. And so in the song, he even says that I believe God was there that night when we lost that baby, that God was there. And still, when I listen to that song, I cry just because I did not want to believe that. Wanting to believe that invoked pain, that God would allow it. And yet, Jimmy was a consistent voice for, no, he's good. He knows. And we don't understand what's going on and why. And he just was a voice for that and allowed me to safely bring the questions that I had, because I really was wrestling with my faith in that season and wrestling with who God was. And I think I needed someone stable and consistent in that season. And Jimmy really was that for me. And he allowed me to deal with God like he did in that first part of our marriage. He prayed for me and just enabled me to wrestle with God through that season.
And isn't that one of the sweetest and richest things we can do for one another in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. not just in the context of marriage, but surely there as well, is to help bring each other to Christ.
Yes.
And that line, pain is the ocean you're swimming in. Mm-hmm. That's so graphic, because an ocean is just, mm-hmm. you know, it looks never ending and huge and mm-hmm. overwhelming. And you can picture waves beating up against mm-hmm. this little craft, and you're thinking, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't even have a craft. Maybe it's mm-hmm. just me swimming in that mm-hmm. ocean. And you feel there can be at times in each of our lives that sense of hopelessness. Yeah. I'm not going to survive this. And it almost doesn't matter what the specific circumstances are that define that for us. It'll look different at different times. But that sense of despair and to have those around us, not in a preachy way, not in a trite way, but acknowledge that this pain is an ocean,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that it is hard, it is big, but that there is something greater and bigger, that as the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy, mm-hmm. underneath are the everlasting arms.
Yes.
That is more sure, more real, the presence of God in the midst of our pain. And I think this thing of, whether it's in marriage or for a single woman who's listening, or a family mm-hmm. going through financial stress, cancer, business stresses, prodigal children, I mean, mm-hmm. Different seasons of life. Yeah. You guys have experienced some of those, but you're still relatively young, and you've got more yeah. hard things to go. Mm-hmm. And Robert and I have talked about this. We're in an older season of life where there are going to be hard things mm-hmm. ahead for us. But to have friends, family members, a mate, parents, grown children, to help point each other to the presence of Christ in the midst of the pain mm. doesn't take mm-hmm. away the pain.
No.
Doesn't make it easy, mm-hmm. but it gives us a lifeboat, a life preserver, mm-hmm. To tell us you're not going to go under.
Yes. And I love, Nancy, that you said the presence of Christ, even more than the promises, because I think there can be a tendency, and the promises are important and true, but there can be a tendency in suffering to just give a quote, a promise, this, you know, like a Romans 8:28. But there needs to be an encouragement to go to the presence of God, because in all of our suffering, it's those promises that produce questions. At least it did for me. If God says that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
How come I'm not getting a husband?
Yeah. Right. How come I'm not getting a husband? Or in my case, with
or a
children,
child.
God says children are a blessing. He says he wants good things for me. Mm. So those promises were invoking questions. And I think what happens even with our own, with children, when their parents do something that they don't understand, the way that they draw near to their parent is with questions. They come and, I don't understand, Dad. I don't understand, Mom. It's actually a sign of a longing for nearness that we would come with questions. And Jimmy really gave me space to encourage me, God is big enough for you to draw near with those questions.
Yeah.
And there's a way to question God that is disrespectful toward him that I would not encourage. But all through the Psalms, you see
yes.
David, man after God's own heart, going, where are you, Lord? How long? I call to you day and night,
yes.
and you do not respond.
Yes.
And so I think there is a really important place for questions in suffering. And I know a lot of women who are just feeling like, I don't have control over whether I get a spouse. If they're experiencing miscarriage, I don't have a control of how to keep this baby alive. And these things that feel out of control and in the hands of God, and it feels like he's not for them.
And then as a child gets older and mm-hmm. walks away from the Lord or the faith
right.
or
mm-hmm.
gets into really foolish, life-threatening choices,
mm-hmm.
That mom, there's someone listening today who's going
yes.
through that.
Yes.
And you can't control it.
You can't
control that child. Mm-hmm. But there is a presence of Christ. And you, Jimmy, wrote that song to remind your sweet wife who was walking through this swimming in this ocean of pain that Christ is with us.
Yes, he is.
And that you were going to be with her as well. You're going to walk through this together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about Paul writing to the Corinthians. I just read it last month where, you know, he says, who is weak without me being weak? You know, I just thought, what an interesting, profound thing that, like, when somebody in the Corinthian church suffered, Paul said, I suffer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wow, I want that, you know. That's something that I've been asking God for lately. It's just like, grow in me a willingness to share, you know, in another's suffering. And there's something that reflects the presence of Christ when a person can exhibit that to another
alongside,
person.
You know? Yeah. So as you guys look back on those hard things, we've talked about some of them. There have been others and there will be more. Mm-hmm. But as you think back on some of those hard places you've walked, what are you seeing is the fruit that God is bringing about in your lives, in your marriage, your ministry? And not that we have to see there's something great that came out of this, but there are good things that God has done in you. Yeah. So how can you look, as you look back, what helps you say, actually, God did have good purposes in this, and I'm seeing a little bit of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good things he's produced in our heart. But I would just have to say the ultimate thing is there is a, I think, such a bigger, more profound sense in both of us that the best thing Christ has to offer us is Christ.
Amen.
And he gives us so many great things and so many extra things and blessings. He's kind, and our Father is a good Father. He loves to give good gifts to his kids. And yet I think of all the times we just shared about our hard things, all the million of other things that I'm thinking about that we didn't share, you know, and I just think, what was the result of those? And in all of those times, what happened in every one of those moments is I was more drawn to my Savior. Mm. There was a season of time just a couple years ago when I lost my ability to sing for like 6 months. I couldn't even talk. I was on vocal rest. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And when people ask me what's been the sweetest time with the Lord, you know, over the past few years, I'd say it was that. It was Jesus meeting with me in those times and me realizing, if I have you, I have everything. Mm-hmm. And if I lose everything, but I still have you, I haven't lost anything.
Mm-hmm.
That has been the precious gift that I think God is always up to in the lives of his people, trying to get them to see that the punchline of the gospel is Jesus. Mm-hmm. You get Jesus. Yeah. You know, 1 Peter 3:18, he died once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, not to all these other bonus features. Mm. Those are great, but we get God. Mm-hmm. And I think in suffering, he proves that to be true, that that's the best thing he could give us.
Mm-hmm.
God is with you in the middle of whatever you're facing right now. I hope you've been encouraged by this conversation today. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Revive Our Hearts Weekend. November is, of course, Gratitude Month at Revive Our Hearts. So next weekend, Mary Cassian will join us. She's written a devotional book called Growing Grateful, and she has a thing or two to help us think through thankfulness and gratitude. I hope you'll be back next time for Revive Our Hearts Weekend. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth reminds you that God is with you, even in the middle of your struggle.
It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.